tonight. Time for cricket tonight. Time for cricket tonight.
Hello and welcome to season two of Cricket Tonight. Your favourite people are back to talk about the World 2020 and India's journey to lift the World Cup trophy. We've got Pralab Gupta here, the new host of Cricket Tonight. Across from our Indian correspondent, Amit Srivastava in Bangalore/Mysore. And also Govind Krishnan is here with me in Melbourne. How have you all been?
It's great to be back. First off, I want to apologise to all listeners. I've had to wait for about 6 months to a year for us to come back.
But we did appreciate all the emails and the various posts of support to
support,
us. Asking us to come back, and it's great to be back.
It's definitely good to be back. Hi to all the viewers. Hello, Pralab. Hello, Bob.
From India.
It's
kind of interesting because it's been about a year since the last World Cup in which Australia lifted the trophy, and a lot's changed. I think in that year's time, Ami's no longer single. He's gotten married, which means all our female fan selections are only Govind myself to pick from. How's that experience been, Ami? Getting married, being in India?
It's been good. It's been good. I haven't experienced the cricket culture so much as of yet, but it's pretty good having games on at sort of proper times, at least for Indian games. Married life is pretty good. You guys were there. It was pretty cool.
That's good.
So I haven't seen Chinnaswamy yet. So I'm in Bangalore.
All right. You definitely need to cover a few games.
I haven't seen Chinnaswamy yet. I want to see it, seriously. Tick that off. So I guess we've seen, I think we've seen most of the stadiums in Australia now, right?
Yep. So now it's up to some of the Indian ones. Gov, in that year, you've
been promoted. And New Zealand.
You've been promoted, but you've also been demoted in Cricket Tonight. And you're no longer a co-host. You're a consultant. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It's been a year since our last podcast, and a lot's happened in my life. I'm now engaged as well. I'm just joking. I'm still single. But the thing I wanted to say is that it's gonna be a different experience this time for Pralab and I, because the World Cup's in India, so the games are going to be shown here around midnight, so I'm probably going to miss most of the games. I'm joking.
you'll be watching them.
I'm going to be staying up and watching every single game.
You're on thin ice. You're kind of a bit like Rishi Govan, who missed squad selection, and there's no danger of you getting out of this podcast series. How have you taken that, given he's one of your favourite players?
Well, I believe that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. I'm sure Rishi Dhawan will make a triumphant return post-World Cup, and he'll eventually be the captain of India.
Okay. So we're here today. We've got a World 2020 occurring. It's been going on for about a week, with the Associate Nations actually qualifying for the final two places in the tournament. It's based out in India. There's been a bit of drama already with some of the India-Pakistan games being shifted from Dharamsala to Kolkata, and also some of the ticketing fiasco, which we'll get into in a bit more detail a bit later. But it's also a time for a World 2020 that's just not the male 2020, but there's also a women's tournament going on at the same time. And it's a promising signs for the female group as well, as their local Big Bash started early this year, but also the Indian tournament for them to actually take their sport to the next level. But we'll be focusing primarily on the male component, although we'll touch base with the sort of female side of it as well. Let's talk about India's squad selection. Ami, what were your thoughts on India's squad of 15?
I'm a big fan of this squad, actually. It's it's the perfect MS Dhoni squad. Because I think Dhoni's always sort of been a fan of having a lot of all-rounders. The concept that everyone should sort of be supporting the team in every way. You've seen that throughout time. It's like Rishi Dhawan's. But you've actually got players like Pandya, who I think is pretty good. Handy with the ball, handy with the bat. And it actually helps because you have Pandya and Jadeja now. So you have two basically all-rounders who can bowl out basically the maximum overs. So, and, other good finds like Bumrah. And, of course, it's a good mix of sort of young players, new players. And, of course, you have players like Dhoni and Ashish Nehra that's sort of been there for a long time. I like the starting, like the team that's most likely going to play most of the games, I think is very strong. I sort of have question marks of, you know, they selected like this pretty Negi guy. He hasn't really played much.
Bowen Negi?
Bowen Negi, right?
He's a guy who was uncapped going into the squad selection, never played an international game, has had a reasonably good IPL career, but he hasn't exactly set the world on fire in the two or three games he's played so far.
It's quite common for a Burnley selection to always have one random guy who doesn't deserve to be there. So that's quite in line with a Burnley selection. What I would say is that in the past couple of years, what's been lacking from the Indian team has been three things: a finisher, an all-rounder, and a depth bowler. And I think India have, with this squad, they've solved, I wouldn't say solved, but they've addressed two of these problems. I think Pandya is a genuine all-rounder. He's still very inconsistent, but he has the potential to be a really, really rock-solid number seven.
Across all formats, I'd also add.
And Jasprit Bumrah has been a revelation for India. You know, he's been a little bit inconsistent as well, but you have to remember, he's still in his early 20s. But I think he's priming up to be a really, really good bowler for India, and he should play a key part in the World Cup campaign. The only thing they're lacking is a finisher. We've seen from Pandya, he does have the ability to score runs down the order. So it'll be interesting to see if he fills that slot in this World Cup.
Yeah, so it's interesting. You've got Dhoni as their sort of core finisher. I'd say Yuvraj has been trying to play that role and has done it reasonably okay in Australia and probably is a good chance of playing that. But just going back to sort of Pawan Negi, I can understand the logic in picking a player of his type. They've got Hardik Pandya as a pace bowling all-rounder, Jadeja as a spinning ball all-rounder, and usually they're playing both of them. But being the pitches being in India, being spin-friendly, there could be an opportunity to actually drop Hardik and put in Negi as that spin bowling all-rounder. And that's probably the logic behind what the selectors have done.
I find it interesting that you say that, because I remember when we were talking about this last World Cup, you were saying that we shouldn't be putting guys in the squad that haven't had that much experience.
Oh, I agree. So I don't think he's necessarily the right pick, but I can understand the logic of picking his sort of player in the squad, particularly given the pitches and having need for an extra spin bowling all-rounder. You could probably argue Harbhajan Singh is probably on par batting-wise with Negi. Negi might be slightly in front, so maybe there's no need for Negi in the first place. But there is a logic behind his selection.
I don't really agree with putting somebody in the World Cup squad after only playing a couple of games.
Yeah,
like I remember about a year ago when they gave a shot to Akshar Patel, he was really billed as an all rounder, and his domestic performances showed that. And I think his first couple of games he scored ducks, so we can't really judge it completely by domestic or IPL scores. So to blood a new player in the World Cup, I think is a little bit risky. And for all you know, there could be a couple of key injuries. So I would have preferred if India went for a more experienced person for that slot. Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, I personally don't think he's going to play. The India's first choice 11 will be what probably played in Australia. Shami is back, who adds probably a good headache for the selectors. I still see him as depth at the moment. And Ashish Nehra, Bumrah and Pandya, the three sort of frontline seam bowlers.
So if Mohammad Shami is healthy, does he find his way into the 11 or is he probably 12th man?
At this stage, 12th man. He might get an opportunity to play the odd game to see if he can displace. Probably Nehra is the only one he can displace. Bumrah's proven himself. But right now, I'm pretty happy with Nehra. He has a good ability of taking wickets. And Shami still hasn't shown that he can back it up game after game. And he's actually, he had a reasonably good return against South Africa. But it's nothing to write home about yet. He's still been out of the game for over a year. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes in any pressure situations.
We saw India dominate the two 2020 games in Australia. Then they dominated the Asia Cup as well. And I would go so far to say they had the perfect Asia Cup. It would be hard to almost point out anything they did wrong, which is something we haven't been able to say about India for a while now. What would you say is this squad's one weakness, if you had to point it out, moving into the World Cup?
Ami?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's really hard to say the one weakness. To think about it, I'm thinking now, I can't really think of anything. The only thing is, the selection and I'm still a little bit weary of Yuvraj Singh because he's sort of got his performances up recently, but I was watching him just a while ago and the guy was struggling brutally to get that on ball. That sort of, if that happens in one game, that can cost like the World Cup, basically. So that's one thing I'm a little bit afraid of. Again, they sort of have a good mix of experience and sort of new players. But, like, again, if, say, something happens to Ashwin, and they start bringing in, you know, Harbhajan Singh as your frontline spinner, then, again, that could be an issue as well. So that could sort of be sort of if things happen or things, you know, go wrong, then that's something that could happen. But aside from that, like, the fielding unit is good. They've got a good mix of batting talent. They've got players like, you know, Shikhar Dhawan and Rohit Sharma can win games off their own bat. Then Kohli can basically build innings. And Pandya, Reina, and MS Dhoni, these guys can all, you know, hit the ball out the park. So a really good team. Bowling-wise, they've got, you know, Ashwin's arguably the best spinner in the world right now. Rumours up and coming. Ashish Nair is doing well. And I actually really like Mohammad Shami. I think if he can get a few games under his belt, he's a really good bowler and he can provide a lot for the team. I wouldn't mind seeing him and Bumrah bowling together. But again, I agree with you guys. Due to the injuries and the lack of his playing time, I put him as 12th man for the moment.
Yeah. And look, I kind of see it as India's top 11 are very, very good. There's probably their only weakness in there is some of their middle to lower order bats, if they come in early due to a collapse, may not be able to perform for a full 20 overs. So those are the guys batting sort of 5, 6 and 7. But it also comes down to the people in the reserve. So I think if India doesn't have any injuries throughout the World Cup or the World 2020, they'll actually do really well. Because if you look at who's out there waiting in the wings, Pawan Negi, unproven, don't have much faith in him. I don't think he'll play. But you have Rahane, who I still think struggles in the 2020 format. And he's been picked as almost a player who can fill any number of roles, be it from the top of the order to the middle order. And then you have Harbhajan Singh, who'll do a decent job from a spinning perspective. And then, I guess, Shami, who's a reasonable replacement, but one who's coming back from injury. So for me, it's we have to have faith in the 11 and hope that there's a very few injuries, if any, for that entire tournament. And then India will be able to maximise its output. Because the other four out there, they can play a role, but I don't think they're as good as the ones they're replacing. And that's probably why they're outside of the team right now.
Yeah, this is a really big call to make, but I'm almost more comfortable with the bowling than the batting right now, just because their top four or five for India is great as usual. I think Kohli's playing amazing as usual, and so is Rohit Sharma. I'm a little bit worried about their 5-8, because India have actually struggled with closing games in one days and 2020s over the last couple of years. As far as their bowling goes, as I was saying before, Bumrah has been a revelation. Ashish Nair, you know, has proven himself in a 2020 game. Ashwin, Jadeja, both great bowlers that are hard to hit. So I would say the one weakness would be the 5-7 and really finishing off those last couple of overs.
But what's great is the number of bowling options available, and that's what Dhoni really wanted. I mean, it kind of goes back to Army saying this is an ideal Dhoni squad because there's so many players out there who can actually pitch in with a ball if someone's having a bad day. You've got, apart from the top five, you also have Raina, you have Yuvraj, who can also bowl reasonably well, particularly in India. So it just means from a team component that India is very, very strong. But we can't give them the World Cup already, right? Because there's lots of other teams out there, and we can go start talking about that shortly. But before we do, let's talk a bit about the affiliate results. Yes, Ami?
Yeah, just one thing before we move on to the affiliates. Got a question for you guys. If this is Dhoni's last World Cup, do you reckon he's going to have a ball?
when you mean have a ball? What do you mean? He's riding his motorcycle, growing his hair out again like he used to do?
Is he going to bowl? I reckon he's
going to have a ball. Sorry. His last World Cup. I don't think he's going to bowl. He's going to be happy to take the gloves and tell his 8 or 9 bowlers that he has at his disposal to bowl for him.
What if it's his last game?
No,
he's not going to do it.
He's not going to do it.
No, but what do you really think this will be Dhoni's last World Cup? I could see him playing in the next One Day World Cup. To be honest, it's about 3 years away. He still seems very passionate about his cricket. What do you guys think about that?
Look, it's possible. I feel like it probably is his last cup right now. But you do have to look at the way he batted in the Asia Cup. And it was just like the Dhoni of old, hitting, clearing the boundary at will, timing it out of the middle and seeming to really enjoy his cricket, which he seemed to have lost a bit of over the last year.
Yeah.
So perhaps it's possible he'll stick on till the next World Cup, but my gut feel kind of tells me that he'll probably look to move on, particularly if India win at the end of this World 2020.
And one more thing about the squad selection. If I could make one change to it, I would have put my favourite player, Rishi Dhawan, in. I think he's a very solid bowler. And I would have put him ahead of Negi, actually, just as a backup to Hardik Pandya and as a possible third bowling option. Yeah, Apart from that, I'm quite happy with the squad.
I mean, Rishi Dhawan's interesting. Like, it's not his fault that he's not in the squad. I think he's taken the opportunity as well in Australia, in the ODI team. But I feel that Well, he's done okay. He sort of got one or two wickets for 40-odd when there was 300-plus scores going. But I feel like he's the sort of player that he's a stopgap solution, and Hardik Pandya, who we're going to invest in to build out into India's premier bowling all-rounder. So I would not be surprised to see Rishi Dhawan drop from both the ODI team as well, and Hardik Pandya take his spot in the next tournament after this.
Yes,
the main difference I found between Pandya and Dhawan was Pandya is really effective in whatever he does. With the ball, he's pretty, like, you know, he can bowl like a 8-ball over, but he can also do something pretty special, like take 3 wickets in an over. And with the bat, he can sort of just from ball one, just go after it. Rishi Dhawan, I didn't see too much of his batting, to be honest, but his bowling to me didn't really impress me too much. But again, it's early in his international career, so I won't be too quick to judge him. So let's see how it goes for good old Rishi.
Yeah. All right. So that's the India squad selection. I think we all agree it's a reasonably good squad and strong squad. Now the World 2020 has been happening for the last week. In fact, the ICC, the way they've structured the tournament is that there's two groups of five. The top eight nations qualify as of the cutoff, and the last two spots people need to compete for it, with all the affiliates. And that's been happening for the last week in India. And the results have been, with the last game occurring yesterday, Bangladesh going through, and also the other team going through was Afghanistan. Now, I mean, what are your thoughts on Afghanistan and Bangladesh here? Both have made it through their divisions. They had some good, I guess, challenges through Zimbabwe with in the case of Afghanistan, and surprisingly, Oman for Bangladesh. Have you found this last week of the tournament?
I've enjoyed it, actually. It's good to see different countries come out. I don't consider Bangladesh an affiliate country. I think this might be the last time that they ever considered under the status, because they've got a pretty good team. And they've caused some, like, if they beat India or if they beat Pakistan, it's not really an upset anymore, as it used to be. So, and they've got a good group of players, good group of young players, some experience in there. They have a superstar in Shakib. And I think they're a team that is potentially, you know, I don't know if I picked them as a contender to win the World Cup, but I can see them making the semifinals or going that far.
We do have a big call segment a bit later, Ian. We'll have you. We do have a big call segment a bit later, and we'll have you make those claims shortly.
Yeah. But just I'll touch on Afghanistan real quick. I'm really happy for that team. They're a really, really fun team to watch, to be honest. And it's cool watching their wicketkeeper batsman, Shahzad. He's reminding me of sort of like an old Sehwag type. Like, just sort of look at the ball and smash it. And in the last, I think, year or something, he's been, like, one of the best batsmen, like, around. Like, so he's been really good. So I'm looking forward to watching them bat and bowl. And it's just that sort of, a bit like Bangladesh, whenever they sort of play, they have a lot of energy, and they play with a lot of passion. So, yeah, I've been really impressed by those two teams.
I feel it's been a little bit tough on Bangladesh in that just last week they came second in the Asia Cup and they beat Sri Lanka and Pakistan. And the week after that, they've had to play against the likes of Hong Kong and Ireland and Netherlands just to qualify for the main event. And after they qualified, they've been put in the hardest group with India, Pakistan, Australia, and New Zealand. So nothing seems to be easy for them. And Tuskin, their best bowler, has been filed for a suspect action. There's a chance that he might miss out on the World Cup. So it's been a tough road for Bangladesh. I have a few more comments to make about them, but let's leave that for the big call segment. It's great to see Afghanistan play well. I think the best two teams out of the qualifiers made it through. One thing I wanted to say about the Hong Kong team, it was interesting to see how the team was just full of expats. How do you guys feel about seeing a team like that? And would it make any difference to you if the team actually had some people who were born in Hong Kong and brought up there? Or does that make any difference?
Look, for me, it's ideally you want to grow the game naturally in the country and have local people taking it up. But the kind of issue I have with trying to place restrictions or having commentary on who's playing for a nation is that affiliate nations already have so many restrictions placed on them, in the sense that their best players are often taken away to other countries. I think it's fair for them to try to get some of the talent coming through back to them. And Hong Kong's an example where they had Ryan Campbell, an ex-sort of Australia player, come in and play for them. And whilst he didn't have a brilliant series, I'm sure his experience would have assisted his teammates in their journey through to the World Cup. But for me, what it goes down to with affiliates is really giving them the game opportunities to play against the regular nations in a lot more detail. And that was something that all the affiliate nations banded together and pleaded with the ICC. They spent a long journey getting to this 1 week point in which two rained out games has cost Ireland, Netherlands and a few other countries the actual opportunity to qualify. And I don't think that's a fair outcome that any of us want to see. If the ICC's view is that the ODI international game is restricted to the top 10 countries and you need to qualify, I see World 2020s as being the big avenue to grow it as much as possible and actually expand the groups out, not just from the 10 that we have to, but even to four groups of four and have 16 nations qualifying. And there's some progress in that with talks that 2020 might hit the Olympics, which will make it open to every nation around the world. But that's something, again, that requires ICC approval. And we can get into it. We'll have a conversation at some point, I'm sure, this podcast series about ICC governance and how they sort of track their member nations. But affiliates, for me, they've had a really good week. And the right teams have made it through. But it was really positive seeing players like Mirka from Netherlands, who I thought was an exceptional fast bowler and could probably walk into a lot of teams, international teams at the moment, see how he goes with his career. I see him playing for England at some point shortly. So that will be very exciting to see. But I think we've had a good week. We now know Bangladesh have qualified. We know Afghanistan have qualified. So let's actually talk about the groups that are there, because there's probably two groups. You go objectively, one's easier, one's the group of death. But let's talk about Group A first. That has Sri Lanka, South Africa, West Indies, England, and Afghanistan. Now, Gov, what are your thoughts on that group? And who do you think will actually make it through to the top two and qualify for the semifinals?
I think if you compare Group A to Group B, you can definitely see Group A is a little bit weaker. And there's going to be opportunity for at least four out of those five teams to have a good shot to make it out of that group. I think South Africa are the strongest team by far in this World Cup. In this group. And I was reading an article today about how De Villiers doesn't actually have a good record in 2020s, which really surprised me. So I think this is going to be a real big breakout tournament for him. For the second place in the Group A, I would probably go with England. I think they're in good form and they're shaping up for a good World Cup performance. West Indies and Sri Lanka, look, I was pretty disappointed with Sri Lanka showing in the Asia Cup recently. They got beaten out by Bangladesh and it wasn't even that close. So I see Sri Lanka in the next couple of years going through a rebuilding stage as they try to fill in the gaps that guys like Sangakkara and Jayawardena and all those great players left behind. So yeah, I see the two teams making out of Group A being South Africa and England.
Yeah, look from my perspective, I actually agree with you for once in that South Africa and England are the two teams that I feel will get through to this division. And it's kind of more of a case of what's wrong with the other teams. So South Africa are a solid team. I'm not sold on AB de Villiers opening. I don't think he should open this World Cup. And if he does, South Africa will not win the World Cup. And that's the call I'll make on this one. Sri Lanka have got issues with Malinga, for example, may not be ready, may not be fit for this World Cup. He's been given up the captaincy at the last minute. They've sacked their chairman of selectors and Sangakkara has been installed as selector just before this World Cup. So there's a bit of instability there. They also lost to Bangladesh, so I don't see Sri Lanka doing that well. West Indies had a set of contract disputes probably don't have the best team there, but you can't really discount them given the firepower they have in their team. And then you have England, who are kind of, you know, they're an okay team. I think they'll do reasonably well. I wouldn't be surprised to see if West Indies took over their spot as kind of the third point, but at this moment I'll back England. And Afghanistan, who are quite well drilled by Inzamamul Haque, who's doing a great job as coach, but I don't see them, you know, winning any of the games, barring one potentially.
A big debate we had during our first season of the podcast was whether or not AB de Villiers is a choker. This will be another opportunity for him to prove himself.
How that do he's you a choker or not a choker?
Well, it depends which side of the argument you're on. Do you see de Villiers redeeming himself this World Cup in your eyes, or do you see him as a serial choker?
I think choking is probably not the best word, but I think he's...
It's a word that you've used.
It's a word I've used in the past. And I think when the pressure has been on, he hasn't ruled his side through the game, like other champions of the game have. I see Abby de Villiers, if he bats lower down the order, I think he'll do well, because that's the role he plays in the IPL. He does it in the past for South Africa, but it's also because South Africa have a really poor or average middle to lower order, and AB de Villiers needed in the last 5-6 over. And that's the value he adds, because he can clear boundaries in all 360 degrees. At the top of the order, where he's batting, you can have other players there who can actually hit over the infield when the fielding restrictions are in. You don't need AB de Villiers, and he's wasted up there at the top of the order. So I think the jury's still out on him. He's a brilliant player, champion of the game, but he still, to me, hasn't got that trophy yet that really validates that component. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. But we'll save my comment on South Africa for the big calls a bit later. Ami, what are your thoughts on the group? Who do you think is going to get through?
Of the two groups, I'd probably say that this is probably the boring group, to be honest. I hate to say it, but the competition is not as fierce as the other group. And yeah, I agree with you guys that South Africa is the favourite, and they should be the favourites to win this group at least. And I'd probably agree with England as well, coming second place, because one thing is you can't really predict anything from the West Indies. Sort of their situation's always sort of up and down, and you never know when they're going to go on strike. And but they have, you know, as Palab said, that they have firepower. Like, they have batsmen that can just hit the ball at the park, and they can get a lot out of, you know, Chris Gayle is... I think he's ranked number one in T20s, correct?
No, Finch is, actually. But he's definitely in the top, okay, sort of 5-6.
Gayle is still, top 5 or 6. So I guess maybe I'm thinking of the IPL then. But South Africa should just, you know, easily get through this round. And England's probably my second pick because they're the most stable, I guess, compared to West Indies or Sri Lanka, who are going through a rebuilding phase. It'd be cool to watch if Afghanistan can sort of win a game or two against...
Beat England? Like, England, do we have a tendency to lose to affiliates?
They could beat England. They could beat... they could also beat West Indies. So
the one team that I
can see if they can...
The one team that I can see losing against Afghanistan any day of the week will be Pakistan, but unfortunately they're in a different group.
Yeah, well let's get on to Pakistan in Group B, because that is the group of death, the tough group. You have India, Pakistan, Australia, New Zealand, and Bangladesh from the qualifiers. All five, you could probably legitimately say, could theoretically qualify. Now, Ami, out of those five, what are your comments, and who do you think will get through this difficult group?
This is a good group. This will be fun to watch. I think favourites would have to be India, just because we, as we just talked about, they're really in really good form. But really, there's no major injuries to the team. So that's really good. So if India should qualify, it's a home ground, and they're my favourites to sort of win the tournament, as well as, you know, get past this group. Second place is tough. I think Australia is always going to be dangerous. I think New Zealand...
Yeah, so I think, Ami, so it's probably the case of India and probably Australia and New Zealand. Garth, do you want to jump in there?
I think this group, Group B, has four out of the best five teams in the whole World Cup. I think Pakistan is one team that can beat any team on its day. They're always a very mercurial side. So this is going to be the group of death for sure. I think Bangladesh, based on their form in the last couple of weeks, could be a very good shot of making it out of the group. In fact, I think India and Bangladesh will make it through. It'll be interesting to see how Australia play with Warner possibly down the order. It'll be interesting to see New Zealand with a new captain, Kane Williamson. I think they could have really used Brendan McCullum in this World Cup as sort of a farewell tour, but we're not going to be able to see that, unfortunately. And India are the strongest team in this group. They're playing the best they've played in the last couple of years. They're peaking at the right time. So I wouldn't be surprised Pakistan and New Zealand made it through. But if I had to pick two, I'm going to say India and Bangladesh.
Okay, interesting. Because having Bangladesh there as your team is a big call to make.
It sort of leads into my big call later on.
look, from my perspective, this is a difficult group. And it's probably been partly due to T20 rankings being so few. Every country plays so few matches that the rankings are actually meaningless. So Australia were ranked 8th. And hence why they're in this group. But you'd say Australia's actually a very good T20 nation. I see India, so I agree India's going to get through to this group. Pakistan are going to be interesting because there's a lot of pressure on them at the moment. And you'll see a lot of sackings come out of that selection panel, coach, and group if they don't make it through. I don't see them qualifying there. I'm going to say Australia's going to qualify win this group. And I feel a lot of countries discount them because of their record in India. But you look at that. You've got Aaron Finch, top of the order, best T20 player in the world. Shane Watson, who's got his rightful position at the top of the order as well. David Warner, Maxwell, Faulkner, and a range of players out there who can actually dominate. Their weakness really is on the bowling front, and that could be their potential Achilles heel. But the firepower they have at the top of the order, for me, will actually get them through a lot of the games. And New Zealand's unfortunate because I actually think McCullum should have been out there leading it in his final series. He's not there. I think they'll do well. They'll win the odd game or two. And they'll get it very, very close. I would not be surprised to see them qualifying. But I think Australia will get through ahead of them. Bangladesh will do their bit. Might beat Pakistan. Might beat New Zealand. But I don't see them qualifying at this stage. Okay, so... Go, Army. Army, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, yeah. Just when you mentioned Pakistan, I just wanted to quickly say something. I don't think Pakistan are going to have a very good tournament, to be honest. And a lot of it, when we started talking about this, I just remember them doing the ICC World Cup. And one of the biggest problems was fielding. And I don't think that's changed. And maybe if they were in the other group, they would have a chance. But against these teams, I don't think they can even win a game. Maybe they can get one from Bangladesh, but Bangladesh have beat them recently. And they're coming with more form. And I don't see them beating Australia, India, or New Zealand.
We have to remember that it's Pakistan at the end of the day. And if one team can upset anybody, it's Pakistan. We saw in the last World Cup, they beat South Africa. And so you can't count them out. I wouldn't say that they should qualify for the next round, but they're a very mercurial team.
Yeah, so I think we'll do a bit more of a deep dive on Pakistan in next week's blockbuster game of the World Cup with so much drama, India versus Pakistan. But we'll cover that in our next podcast.
One more thing before we move on. I find it interesting, Pralab, that you picked the four safe options to qualify for the next round. Because the one thing I've learned from these World Cups is that nothing ever goes according to plan. And that's the reason why I picked Bangladesh.
And for me, that's kind of a... For nothing to ever go to plan, the safe options actually go through because you're not expecting it to go through. And that's why I picked it. So I'm almost like reversing this whole situation. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Now, the first game that India's playing in 2 nights, late tomorrow night, in fact, is a series opening or World 2020 opening game against New Zealand. Army, what are your thoughts on who's going to win this game, the key battles that you see happening?
It's a good game. Good game to start things off, I think. I think I would probably pick India to win the game. India coming again with everything we talked about. I don't think it'll be easy. I think New Zealand are going to put up a great show. I think maybe key players to watch, I'll say, are probably Martin Guptill. He's really, really picked up his game recently. And I think Kane Williamson as well from New Zealand. He's always been a really good batsman. And he probably has something to prove now that he's he's a leader of the team now. Brendan McCullum was always there. He has good experienced players with him, with Martin Guptill and Ross Taylor. So I think those two players from New Zealand will be there to watch. And of course, New Zealand's bowling attack is, you know, one of the best, you could say, especially seeming wise. For India, I think Ashwin will play a big role because he can spin and he can spin the ball well. So they're the players I'd probably say to look out for. Really looking forward to the game tomorrow.
Gav?
I think New Zealand's going to win this game, actually, for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think India are flying really high right now and they might be peaking a little bit too early. I think we've seen their best cricket over the last couple of weeks. And just based on past World Cups, it's not always that bad to lose a game early. Like we saw in the previous World Cup, Australia lost against New Zealand in that thrilling game. And then from then on, Australia woke up and they won the remaining games of the World Cup. We saw India, they were undefeated until the semi-final where they lost against Australia, and New Zealand were undefeated until the final. So I think this will be sort of a wake-up call for India. I think New Zealand, with Guptill and Kane Williamson playing so great, and their pace bowlers will shock you. A guy like Henry, you know, Southee, Trent Bolt, they've got an amazing bowling lineup. And if any team can shock India up front, I would say it's New Zealand. That being said, I still think India are the best team in this tournament, and they have a great shot making it to the next round of winning it. But I think this might be the time, this might be the game where India's a bit shocked.
Okay, so I see India winning this game pretty comfortably, to be honest. And whilst I think New Zealand are a good team, a lot of that was due to the leadership of Brendan McCullum with that aggressive at all costs mentality that works really well within T20 and probably the World Cup. Kane Williamson is one of those dominant players of this generation, on likes with Root, Cawley and Smith. But I don't think he's taken to captaincy the same way some of these other players have, where he's stepped his game up to another level. So I actually think he'll struggle through this tournament. Looking into the New Zealand team, their pace bowling attack completely agrees. It's world class. They'll do well. But their spin bowling attack, Ish Sodhi barely played any cricket. Nathan McCullum, who's kind of been around the scenes, not a great spinner. They're not gonna do a brilliant sort of. They won't have a brilliant time around with their bowling attack. So I don't actually see them doing well this tournament.
Do you think that India will be undefeated this World Cup?
No, I can see them losing a semi-final. No, I'm kidding. I can see them losing one of the group stages. But if you go into the Indian team, they've got such a good, solid team from top to bottom. And they've done well in the practice game, apart from the game against South Africa, where they got taken to the cleaners by South Africa, went for 200-odd runs. I actually see India is a really good chance of going through the entire tournament through to the final, which is kind of where I see them ending up undefeated. But they might end up losing to another team down the track, which we'll discuss. But so I think we're pretty much all pretty clear here that it'll probably be India, Army's India, I'm India, and Gav saying New Zealand might do an upset here and beat India for this game. But let's move on to the final segment for our podcast, one of our favourite and controversial ones about big calls. If any of you guys listen to our award-winning Season 1 podcast series, you'll note that Army was notorious for avoiding big calls and sort of backtracking. So it'll be interesting to see how he takes this side of it around. I mean, what's your big call for this World Cup?
You're starting with me.
I'm starting with you so we can drill down on it and go, Army, you have to make a big call. Who's going to win the World Cup?
Right.
What's a big call?
Oh, okay. Is that a big call?
That's one of them that you can make.
It's not a big call if you say India's going to win the World Cup,
yes.
By the way.
It has to be controversial.
Okay. Okay. Big call time. Okay, I'm going to make a call, which if you listen to Season 1, you probably know I'm a fan of this guy. And I said something pretty big call-ish, because I was forced to last time. I'm going to say Ashwin is going to win the Player of the Series.
Player of the Series. Okay, interesting call.
Big call.
It's pretty big call, because he's not an all-rounder. He's not a batsman, traditionally, in a batsman-dominated series. He's a bowler. So, yeah, that's a
valid call. Big call.
Gav, have you got any thoughts?
My big call is that Bangladesh is going to make the final. As I was saying before, the two teams I see making out of Group A is South Africa and England, and out of Group B is going to be India-Bangladesh. And I see Bangladesh winning their first semi-final. And I'm not ruling them out of winning this tournament. But for now, I'm just going to say they make the final.
I'd say they're going to win the tournament. Yeah, I just want to
I'm going to say Bangladesh.
A giant egg that I'll throw in your face when that entirely explodes when it doesn't end up happening.
If I had to say, I would say Bangladesh is not going to win the tournament. But I'm saying they're going to make the final. And my big call for next World Cup is that Italy's going to make it. They're going to qualify for it. So look forward to that one.
Italy, the associate nations. Look, that's interesting. I don't have any calls surrounding Italy or the affiliates at this stage. But my big call is that I'll have two big calls, or two comments. One, if AB de Villiers does not open the inning, South Africa will win the World Cup and be the first trophy they'll ever lift. But if he does open, I think South Africa will lose, and I see India winning the World Cup.
Wow.
And that's a comment I'll make. And that's how important I see AB de Villiers batting down the order for South Africa.
I see India winning the World Cup as well against Bangladesh.
Against Bangladesh. That'll be an exciting game, particularly given it'll be a repeat of the Asia Cup final. And some of the ways the fans reacted and the comments from there, it'll be a very, very good game at Kolkata, the home of cricket in India. And one of the big sort of amazing grounds that you could ever go to.
And I see the player of the tournament is going to be Rohit Sharma.
Rohit Sharma. I did always want to get out my favourite Rohit Sharma song, and I think that would be great to do. Arby, you want to talk a bit about how you can listen to us and how you can get in touch with us?
Yes, I can. As former host, I know all that information. So, if you want to listen to us, just get onto our iTunes, subscribe, and just follow us. Use any podcast player that you use, you'll find us. Just type in Cricket Tonight, and you'll be able to find us. If you want to listen to our old past couple podcasts about the previous World Cup, because you want to relive those memories, go ahead.
And we'll see you soon.
Thanks, everyone.